Hello everyone. Today I'm going to present to you about the effects of price and geological uncertainty over the life of mine and ultimate pit limit. My name is Fernanda del Castillo and I'm a PhD student at Cosmo Lab. So first, a quick review of the contents of my presentation. I'll start with an introduction to the topic, then how we model these uncertainties, the methodology that we use and the parameters that we need. I'll apply this methodology to a case study that's an open pit gold mine, and I'll finish with some conclusions and future work. So, as you all know here, reserves are a function of internal as well as external uncertainties. What do I mean with this? Internal uncertainties are the ones that affect intrinsically our project, such as the geology, the rock quality, etc. And external uncertainties are the ones that affect all the projects in general, such as market uncertainty, exchange rates, price. So because of the complicated interrelationship that exists between these uncertainties, it's almost impossible to have any certainty when deciding over strategic decision variables. Now, the problem is that these decisions are usually irreversible and entail huge investments that are impossible to change after. So a good practice is to include as much flexibility as possible into our strategy, but also into the design, so that we are able to react to change once the context of our project shifts. And this will allow better decision making for managers and the people in charge. However, to do this, it's impossible to be prepared for every scenario, because this is impossible and very, very expensive. So it's good to have a probabilistic information of the probable outcomes. It's useful, for example, to know what's the probability of closing earlier project or expanding if the context is favorable, and when should this happen. For example, even if we assume that the geology of our deposit is completely known, it's still constantly changing. Here you can see a gold deposit where the scale is in net profit by block. It's not great. So if we have a gold price of $800 per ounce, we can see that this is the optimum pit limit. Now, if the price increases to $1,200, this doesn't only mean that we have more valuable material in our pit limit, but also that probably the design of our optimate mine shifts. Now, the problem with conventional models is that they don't account for this changing in the design if the context changes. This is because they're just a static picture of our project, where everything that you assume at the beginning of the evaluation is assumed to maintain constant along the whole life of mine, and this doesn't give us any information of the probability of the context changing. Even if we do sensitivity analysis, this won't provide any probabilistic information of the occurrences. Now, in contrast, we have stochastic models, which they do account for the uncertainty of the parameters and the variables that we use. And they will provide us a range of the possible outcomes of our project. And to do this, real option valuation has proven to be an effective tool that can be used to value flexibility and also included in our design. This is all so that we can provide useful information for decision makers to help them along the life of mine. Now, how do we model this uncertainty? For geological uncertainty, we use stochastic simulation. This is conditional simulation that what it does, it's by respecting the statistics of the data that we have, it generates multiple representations of our body model that provides us a probabilistic approach of, for example, the grade content or the tonnage of our deposit. And by this, we can more or less have an idea of the uncertainty of the geology that we have. Now, for the price uncertainty, there are multiple forecasting models available, depending on the commodity that we want to forecast, if it's energy or precious metals. And these have different sophistications. Now, the basic ones are the random walks. The geometric Brownian motion is the first one that's used actually as a base for the more sophisticated models. This is usually used for precious metals that provide a general drift of the price. Now, the mean reverting process is the first sophistication of the Brownian motion. That what it does, it accounts for a long-term shift to a long-term price, to a expected price. And this is usually used for base metals. Now, there's one addition, one sophistication that has proven to provide useful results when used for energy forecasting and for commodity prices. That's the addition of a Poisson jump into this random walk. Now, what we want to do is to account for the extreme changes in price. Here I show you the historical prices of copper and gold for the last 20 years. We can see in the case of copper, it's very easy to see the jumps that exist in the price. Now, in the case of gold, it's also possible to see some shifts in the price. And this is what we want to account, because the random walks just account for the variability, but they are not able to include these extreme changes in the price. Now, how do we add this into our forecasting model? Here I show you the geometric Brownian motion, because the case study is going to be in a gold mine, so this is the model that we'll use, but it can be added into any other. Now, what we do is add an extra Poisson term that works binarily, so it's 0 if there's no jump and 1 if there is a jump. And this is calculated according to the frequency of the jumps that we obtain from the historical data. And to simulate this, we use an extra random variable that distributes uniformly to define if the jump will be upwards or downwards. So how do we apply these uncertainties into our evaluation model? If we have a mine, for example, at each year, the mine will have the option to extract or to stop mining by next year. So if we assume that the mine will extract until the last available year, we can go checking backwards to see if actually the project value would increase if the mine stopped exploiting before. This way, we can obtain the project value as the year where the project where they maximize the value, considering the sunk costs that are the costs that have already been incurred, or the value of closing at a different year. And the year where this happens, where the project value is maximized, is the life of mine of our project. So this way, if we have favorable price forecast scenarios, of course our project will probably decide to expand. And if we have worse cases of price, we will have shorter life of mine and shorter project. Now this will provide us a probabilistic approach of the life of mine of our deposit. And by doing this analysis over the different simulations of the ore body deposit, as they are all equally probable, we can add them up to obtain a total life of mine distribution for a project. So in summary, what we're doing is first to simulate the price path, given the current price of the ore commodity. Then we evaluate the project along the whole price path, and we determine the ore, the waste, and the cutoff per each period along the whole path. Now with this, we can obtain the life of mine as the year where the project value is maximized from today until the maximum expansion of our project. And by creating these multiple simulations of the price path and of the geological simulations, we can obtain a total life of mine distribution. Now, how do we apply this to a case study? This is an open pit gold mine, as I was telling you, with 15 million tons per year extraction rate. Now, if we assume a gold price of 700 upscaling to 900 over 5 years, we obtain a net present value of $90 million with an overall life of mine of 11 years. Now, some assumptions that we're going to use for our base case. First, the schedule is fixed, and it's the one defined by the Milawa algorithm available in WITL over the base case assumptions. Then we also assume that the extraction rates are met every year. So what we plan in this schedule we assume that it's met perfectly every year. And that the closing costs are dependent over the cumulative ore that we extract. So the closing cost will be higher if we decide to close the mine later on. And the operational and capital expenses are also proportional to the rock extracted each year. So with this, we will evaluate 4 scenarios. First, the base case that I just defined. Then we will include the price uncertainty. So we'll have a different scenario for each price path. Then we will do the same, but for the geological uncertainty. So we'll have one scenario for each geological representation. And finally, we will have a joint model that accounts for price and geological uncertainty together. So as we, for each of these scenarios, we know the price and the geology that we will encounter, it's possible to calculate the ore, the waste, and the grade of each year. So we can calculate the cash flow that we will have in each period and determine the years that we'll have negative cash flow. So for example, in cases like this, where we have a negative cash flow at the end of our period, of our life of mine, it's easy just to decide to close the project early. Now, if we have cases like this, where we have two negative years in order to get to a positive year at the end of the life of mine, this is more interesting, and that's why it's necessary to evaluate along the whole price path and not just in a yearly basis to see if it's actually worth it to incur over two negative years to get to the value at depth. Now, another important thing to note here is that we are including the operational flexibility of management to react to the geology and to the price encountered. So in each scenario, we choose if the block is sent to the mill or to the waste dump, depending on the price that we have, in order to maximize the profit. In this case, there's no stockpile and there's just one process. So there's only two choices, or waste or mill. Now, to calculate the ore, what is considered ore and what's considered waste, we use Lane's cutoff grade strategy that uses the costs and the price to define what's the minimum grade that a block needs to have in order to be considered as ore. So what we're doing here is that each year we choose if extracting next year will be profitable for our project overall, not just for the next year. So going back to our case study, this is the ultimate pit limit of our base case that has a net present value of $90 million. But what we want to study here is if it's profitable to extract further from this pit limit if the conditions are favorable, or to stop mining before if they're not favorable. Now, if we stop mining before, it's easy because we have the base case schedule. However, if we want to expand, we need to have some guidance of where to continue the extraction. So we have to include this flexibility in our design. Now, to do this, what we do is first we extract the initial schedule. Then we increase the price and we reschedule the remaining rock. And after we join these two schedules to obtain an expanded model of our mine. So what we want to avoid, and why is it important to do this analysis at an early stage, it's because we want to avoid problems like this where we're not able to take advantage of positive scenarios because infrastructure is located at strategic points and we will have to encounter in huge relocation expenses or just not be able to do the expansions because of these problems. So by the conventional evaluation model, we can see that these two extraction levels have negative present values, so they wouldn't be considered in our base case. But we will see that if we consider uncertainty, this can change. Now, we include first the geological uncertainty. So we have our estimated model versus our 20 ore body simulations. We can see that in this case, the simulations present a 14% less ore, but more than a 20% increase in net present value. This is because the simulations present a higher variability of the grade content. So even though we have less tonnage of ore, the ore that we have contains a higher grade of gold. So we will have less processing costs with the higher revenue. Now, if we include the flexibility to continue extracting or to stop mining early, we can see that in 50% of the cases, the mine would actually decide to expand to a 15-year operation from an 11-year at the beginning, which would increase the project value and the life of our project. In this case, however, the second expansion wasn't profitable in any case. Now, if we see the case of stochastic price, we do 20,000 price forecasts, starting from the same $700 per ounce of price of gold as in the base case. And we use the geometric Brownian motion with the Poisson jumps that I explained before to generate this price forecast. So by calculating the parameters from the last 10 years of historical data, we generate these forecasts from today until the maximum life of mine, that in this case includes the two expansion levels. So it's important to note here that even though this forecast seem optimistic, if we have a positive price scenario, we will, of course, decide to expand. However, if we have a negative one, this doesn't mean that we will have to incur in big losses and very negative net present values, but that we will decide to close early. So what we're actually doing is taking advantage of all the upside potential, but also protecting our project from the negative cases. So here you can see the probability of obtaining different lives of mine for each of the price forecasts, where we can see also the probability of the operation being open in for the base case or for the stochastic price case. So in the base case, we see that there's a 100% chance of just being open until year 11 and then closing. However, if we include the uncertainty of price, we can see that there's less than a 30% chance of actually being operational for 11 years, as we supposed. There's almost a 50% chance of expanding to 15 and even to 16 years. Now, something interesting to take into account here is that this analysis also provides us useful information, for example, of closing early. Here, there's more than a 10% chance of stop mining by year 8, what may allow managers to be prepared in this complicated years. Now, so in this case, we can see that the both expansion levels are profitable and feasible for a project and should be taken into account. Now, if we add the 20 ore body simulations to our price forecasts, we can see that the results obtained are more or less the same. However, in this case, there's even a higher probability of being operational for longer. However, the years that should be taken into account are the same, of closing early by year 8 or of expanding to 15 or 16 years. And again, in this case, then both expansions would be feasible and profitable for a project and should be taken into account. Now, here you can see the project value for the four cases just explained, for the base case, the geological case, price, and the joint model. We can see that just by considering uncertainty, our project value increases. However, what's more interesting to see here is that by considering this uncertainty, it's not just the value that changes, but also the design of our project, and actually that would change and that should be considered in an early stage of our project. Here you can see a risk analysis of the annual cash flow. Even though the first 11 years that are our base case pit limit do present a more stable cash flow, by the final years, there's still a very high probability of being operational and of having a positive cash flow. Now, if we include, again, the geological uncertainty, we can see that the cash flow tends to be even more positive, increasing the probability of being operational for longer. So, in conclusion, you can see that this model allows us to assess the pit limit on the ultimate and the life of mine of our project under uncertainties, and that the traditional methods tend to not only undervalue our project but also underestimate the design, what makes us lose valuable opportunities under uncertainty. Now, we can see that this analysis provides useful information for decision makers in order to be prepared for infrastructure location or for contracting timings and this delaying investments and different information that is very valuable to have at an initial stage. And this model allows us revise the problem, revise our project as along the life of mine when we go obtaining more valuable information. Now, we can see that real option valuation once again allows us to value this flexibility and include it in our project, because we saw that considering this uncertainty would actually change our design and increases the project value. Some limitations of this analysis, however, in the first case is the fixed schedule that we use, because as price changes, the schedule would also change, and for different geologies this also happens. And also that, of course, the parameters that we use as an input for our forecasting models are always subject to error. Now, future work would focus in the first case to include higher complexities of our real real projects, such as stockpiles or multiprocesses, and also to create a stochastic integral programming model to include geological and price uncertainty to fix the fixed schedule problem. Thank you.